Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody.
Hey, this is the Phil and Bill show, and this is Bill talking. Mi amigo.
Yeah.
Welcome to another month. We made it. It's Christmas time. Not Xmas and all that. I said it's Christmas time. It's winter time.
Yeah, I got something special for Christmas later, Bill.
All right.
I'll share that.
You know
with
what
you.
I don't like about this time of the year is you and I really get separated this time of the year because
yep.
We're like social butterflies. We have so many of our friends doing so many events. You and I have to pretty much kind of divide. Now, this weekend, I'm doing two motorcycle events out of my shop alone. Do you have one or two events you're going?
I got to go north.
For one event?
One event, and then I got to go south for the other event.
Oh, okay. So you're doing both. I'm doing two events also. The weekend after, I'm doing another event at my bike shop. These are all charity drives. We're all trying to help the community. But this time of year, you and I are like on different directions on the freeway.
Yeah. You know, and then like the last 2 days, it's been in the 30s at night, you know, and they waited till Wednesday to open all the homeless shelters.
Yeah. Next to my shop, I have these cement culverts where the water goes through. And the homeless people, they live inside these culverts, and the reason is they live there for safety.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get robbed by other homeless people. They also live in them for warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at some point in time, though, they go, they're going to light a fire.
Yep.
And then somebody's going to call the police, and now the police will have to come. They'll take these people, and they'll make them leave. Now they'll go down the street a couple miles to the old riverbed. It's wet. They're living in small little cardboard shacks again, and they're vulnerable from attack by the homeless people. It happens every year. We took a long time to open up the homeless shelters because, as you just said, the city said it's not cold enough.
Right.
Now, Screwdriver and I, we're pretty open-minded about some guy being on the street because a lot of people just one paycheck but being away from on the street. Our concern is with 3.5 million homes in foreclosure so far, we have women with children on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we need to offer homes, shelters to women, single mothers with children, get them off the street for safety, get them off the street for security, get them off the street for medical reasons,
mm-hmm.
dental reasons, and yet our government is just saying, well, it's too soon. I think if one woman with a child needs help and we don't help them, then I say something wrong with our government, Miguel.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, they're out in front every day,
yeah.
You know. The guys are fighting over cans out of the trash can and shit, man. So, you know, we collect a little bit here and we walk them over and buy them lunch or something. If they're saying they're hungry. Naturally, two blocks down, there's a liquor store. They go to the liquor store.
Yeah.
Well, I tell them straight out, if you're hungry, I'll buy you food. I'm not going to give you money to go
yeah.
drink, but I'll buy you something to eat.
I had a guy come in the shop. Anyone know could do a little work around the shop, you know, sweeping up, clean up a little bit just for a few bucks. You know,
mm-hmm.
that was fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I said, absolutely. And I gave him a broom. He said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, well, I'm going to show you the back. I want you to sweep up. He goes, oh, I thought you'd just give me a couple bucks. And I said, get out of this shop here, for Christ's sakes. I'm not against people that want to do something, but there is a difference between a hand up and a handout. And I'll be damned if I'm wasting my money for the guy going to scam me. The women on the streets, man, I don't see how in this country we could talk about doing things like putting another rocket ship in the moon or Mars or any other damn place for billions of dollars, when in reality, we have people in America that need help.
Yep.
Now, Let me talk about Harley Davidson for a second. I think you picked up on this. The Harley Davidson factory is considering opening up a factory in India.
India.
Where is that?
Yeah, India.
They're going to ship the motorcycle parts.
It's on the blog, Bill.
Okay. Well, I'm going to elaborate that a little further, though.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you for interrupting me. I appreciate that.
No
That's
problem.
Fine. All right.
What I'm here for.
So we're going to take people and ship the parts to India, and Harley Davidson says they can produce more motorcycles, cheaper rates, so the world can enjoy them. How about the Americans, the union workers that are going to get laid off,
mm-hmm.
possibly lose their houses, families being disruptive because the factory wants to make a few bucks? Now, what I've just heard about, and I don't know if you caught this or not, you probably have, you're on this blog and stuff and crap and computer crap stuff I don't even like. They already have a plant going on in Brazil. Did you hear about that one?
Yes.
Oh, geez, you know everything. All right, then.
Well, no, I'm LinkedIn, Bill.
No, I'm not
LinkedIn
anything.
I've been
anything,
trying to get you,
know,
I'm surprised you went on Facebook, man.
All right, so for you people out there listening, again, I want to go over that. And this show, we're not about just Harley Davidson's. We're about all motorcycles and human rights, motorcycle rights. But if we open up a plant in Brazil, which we already have, and another plant in India, and start assembling the motorcycles, that's outsourcing. Can't you understand what's going on? China is growing bigger and bigger and bigger because we are outsourcing. Walmart, is it they own Costco probably? Got it. I have no idea how much they own here. And our government is being so friendly with them. It's okay. Well, you've heard me say this before. It's not okay. We have Red China. We have Communist China. It's the same damn thing. Did you get to vote we stopped calling it Red China?
No, I know when you talked about it on the radio, they dismissed your ass.
That's true. I had a show in AM, and I got, I didn't get quite booted, but let's just say they...
It didn't meet your understanding, wasn't it?
Huh? My sponsors were sending a lot of product to China, and I thought they should quit. They said, well, no, we're not going to sponsor your show anymore. All right, that's their right. I can understand that. But again, I tell everybody, we can't keep doing this outsourcing. I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Your children are going to be okay, but I don't know how your grandchildren are going to grow up. Is this still going to be a great country?
No.
Is this going to be something we're proud of, or in school, our children will learn Chinese and stuff?
You know, I got an email today from, and I don't know why I get these emails from AARP, told me my Social Security benefits are in danger. Really?
Well,
been doing about that for what, 10 years now?
Yeah. I got a problem with that. You know, I'm already 62. I can qualify for all that, but I'll leave it for a while. Maybe somebody that really needs them can get it, and, you know. But then the other hand, it may go away, so I worry about that. But right now, I'm going to say the hell with it, you know. So you got runs going on. I got runs going on.
Yes.
I got runs all the way through. And don't forget Christmas time. Let's skip Christmas time.
Well,
let's start talking about the New Year's. How many parties, how many motorcycle clubs kind of would like us to show up and – it's like you and I almost have to make a 15 minutes here, a half hour here, and I appreciate all the invitations we get.
Yeah,
but
it's just trying to be, you know.
Yeah.
They want both of us there. Sometimes you can't both be there.
Yeah. We choose to ride diners because
I got an email from up north that said, are you Bill coming? Well, Bill's going the other way, and I'm coming your way. Well, Bill's not coming. Why? Can't be in two places at once.
And to all of our friends that are listening, again, please understand, we're not trying to make one and not make one. Screwdriver and I are trying to divide our time to spend some time with as many of our friends as we can. It's just California, you know, it's 500 miles to Frisco, and we can't make too many in one weekend. We're up and down. Not to mention, I want to try to go down to Mexico pretty soon again. I was down there a couple weeks ago, I think I told you.
Right.
My wife and I went down there to Rosarito for a nice time. Very expensive hotel. They asked me, do you have any friends? I go, yes, I do. Do you have any friends coming with you to Mexico? No, I don't. So that's kind of sad. But there are Mexican bike clubs. I want to stop in during the holidays and try to spend a little time with them if I can.
Yeah, we got to go to the toy run. That one we'll go to together.
I got one here before we start deviating on the subjects. I was doing something today. I was talking to the people at the VA hospital. I've not talked to you about this here.
Uh-huh.
In April-ish, we're going to have a toy run. We're trying to work a few details. Not a toy run, excuse me. A run for the paralyzed vets,
right,
as we've done every year. But
every year.
I'm going to change this around a little bit if I can. there's an organization, we haven't solidified this yet, so you know, don't hold me to everything. Possibly the American Legion riders this year are going to be the big host to step up.
Right.
So I want to do a motorcycle run from the VA hospital, but get some of those guys down in the wheelchairs from the VA hospital
right.
down to Oceanside where they open that new Veterans Center.
Right.
Now, I don't know if it's going to be open in time for April.
Well, they
but
said
you know what? We can get in the building anyway.
They said, yeah, they said the end of March, beginning, or the end of February, beginning of March is the word I got.
Who said that?
The guy that's running it.
Why you didn't tell me that?
Because I didn't...
I'm over here trying to put a bike run together.
I just
You're
got,
at work, I'm doing this, and you can't share information?
Hey, you know, we had 10 minutes before we went on the air, buddy.
I know. We tried to jam a lot in that 10 minutes.
Trying to jam everything in, so, you know, if I drop something on you, it's not, I'm doing it on purpose.
Well, all right. Well, I have to ask you this because you read this stuff, and I barely read the newspaper, so... You want to let me start off a little bit if I can. About you know what? No, why don't you jump a little bit about this cover up? That's in 2 weeks. We'll work our way backwards.
Well,
okay.
This is going to be at your place. It's a rain or shine event. We'd like everybody to bring blankets and socks.
But we'll take all clothes.
We'll take anything. Yeah. Anything you know, new, used, whatever. Whatever. It's like springtime. You clean out the closet. Clean out in December. And so it's $10. It's a $10 donation for the registration. You get a run fit and the food. You'll get a ticket for the food. And that guy that cooked last time?
That guy was a good cook. And I'd have gone to
good.
A restaurant. That
no,
guy was good,
was
yeah.
Good
and good plates.
Right.
Big side plates, yeah.
So what's going to happen is it's going to leave at San Diego Harley at 11:30, but they start the registration at 9.
If I can. This is, to my knowledge, it's the only run in California, maybe other states too, that we have an authorized dealership as a starting place and
right.
an independent shop
right.
as a final place. And
right.
the authorized dealer owner, New York Mike, we'll ride down to our shop and all that. So that's kind of,
right.
dealerships, independents don't usually work together. That's kind of nice.
Right. And then it'll depart there at 11:30. It rides up to your place. Donations will benefit the homeless throughout St. Vincent de Paul's, which is all over San Diego, and Brother Reynolds, which is out of Oceanside. The donations will be accepted by the following co-sponsors until the event. San Diego Harley, your place, and Clean Sense. And then you can drop off stuff. There's boxes at all. El Cajon, Harley-Davidson, Lemon Grove, Cycle Supply, Prestigious Chopper, The Biker Shack, Sweetwater, Harley-Davidson, Cycle Visions, Who Dads, The Shop, Seth's Chop Shop, Citywide Custom, Custom Cycle Works, Amazing Collectibles, Ends and Knives, The Dublin Mob, American Cycle, Intrepid Cycle, H&P Auto, Color Bomb, and Uncommon Grounds Coffee Shop, and then Mello's Tattoo, and Santee Cycle Supply, and then San Diego Custom Cycles. Which is the San Diego tradition.
And you
forever.
Can see the large amount of sponsors in here that everybody
right.
just trying to pull together.
Right.
And the fact that we
and it's
are...
basically it's being put on by the Messengers MC and the Pioneers MC, which are two clean and sober clubs.
And we're going to have them on the air
and
next
this
week.
Also, I'm sorry,
bit.
But
That's
this
right.
is also the 15th annual.
Correct. And we are going to have them on the air next year. You're one of them talking about that.
Right.
And the ride is going to be about 35 miles from San Diego to my shop in Oceanside, Kelly's Custom Cycles, Oceanside, California. So 35 miles, you know, come on.
And the party following it in the street in front of your place, there's going to be music, the bike contest, the 50-50 drawing, the raffle prizes, which were all donated. For further information, you can contact Wayno at 619-540-3460. And as Bill said, they'll be on next week. That's at Wayno at the Messengers, or Boone at the Messengers, and his number is 518-5748. And then 415 is the Pioneers.
You're doing 619. How do
they know? Oh, I'm sorry, 619-743-6198. You can also go on their websites, messengers.com, I think, and then the other one is pioneers.com.
You know, we talked about the run ends at my shop. We'll have a big party, and we'll talk about a few minutes. We have two more toy runs this weekend alone at my bike shop. So now in the next 2 weeks, we have three toy runs, Kennedy's. I get a lot of exposure, and I appreciate that. The reason I'm going to move the paralyzed vet run from the VA hospital, instead of going to Kennedy's, I'm going to try to push that to the new VA clinic.
I
said that the messenger is more important than myself, the messenger, and yourself.
Right.
They're utilizing my talents and your talents to put this event on, but I want, for this VA thing, I don't want my name involved in anything. I want to be the point that we can all get together and know it's for everybody.
And then the other thing, the other thing, Billy, is we're going to. I talked to you about that stuff with Charlie. Charlie's in the chat room. If Charlie wants to call in later, probably about a half hour or so, we can talk about some stuff with Charlie.
And that's good. We did some thinking about that. This could take some brainstorming.
And like I said, if Charlie wants to call in about 6:45, 7 o'clock, that would be nice.
Or something. Yeah,
right around there.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is. You got this thing
going.
Well,
you know, let me hold a second there, because I've been getting some comments that I walk on people when they talk, and some people call and they want to comments, and I cut them short. If I do, that's
the way we are.
Yeah. I'm not trying to not give you a chance to say something. In fact, I believe you may think you're right, but I don't think you always have the right facts.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like to give everybody an opportunity. If I do walk on you and you don't think that you get a chance to get your message out, just comment the first time you get me to shut up and say, hey, Mr. Kennedy, I'd like to elaborate a little more on my point.
I'm going to tell you, Mr. Kennedy, I'm going to tell you, hey, Bill.
Because I want everybody to be comfortable, right?
Exactly.
This is the last bastion of freedom in the world.
Exactly.
Guys like you and I could talk to guys from Georgia or not, Europe and all that, and we can say what's on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't stop us.
No. I mean, it's like right now, Bill. I told you today, you know, we went over, this is, what is that number right there? If you want to read that.
24,000.
160.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the page views per day right now. The audience, we're in, of course, the United States. We're in Denmark, Canada, Australia, South Korea. South Korea. I was surprised at that one.
Who the hell listen to us in South Korea? What time they got to get up?
Exactly. The United Kingdom, Germany, Russia, the Netherlands, France. We're in
Mexico? Why is that up there?
Well, no. Hang on. And then we go down here to we're in Australia. No,
mm-hmm.
I said Denmark.
We got friends
Canada,
all over. Canada. Yeah, we got friends all over.
South Korea, we just jumped.
Yeah.
Germany, Russia. We're in Russia, France, the Netherlands. And the other day we had, here, look at this one, Guyana. Okay? We're in Ghana, we're in Canada, Denmark, all over again, you know?
Yeah.
It's like South Africa, Sweden, the Netherlands.
We have people in South Africa. We have people in Argentina. We have people, especially Scandinavia. That's our strong points there. But if you feel that, again,
Brazil,
I just want to admit that.
Brazil.
We like Brazil. You know,
trolling here.
Who do you know that's
France,
this guy's family from Brazil?
Brazil, France.
Who do you know? Who?
T-Rod.
Good man. Good friend of ours. He owns a bike shop up there.
France,
buddy,
Brazil,
yeah.
Russia, Germany, South Korea. South Korea, Bill. We're hitting like 1,855 people are tuned into us in South Korea.
And I'm relatively surprised because when I was on AM radio, you know, I had a problem with Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell that story shortly. I was going into the AM radio show I had, and I was going to talk about the weapons of mass destruction and wherever they got. And the leader of North Korea, Kim Song-il. I believe I said that correctly.
Well, you're not going to talk about the hair length.
Oh, I'm going to. What? Yes, I am. I'm in. I want to share it.
Sure, no problem.
So I was going to talk about the weapons and all that. And it came on the radio that they came out and said.
Well, when you were talking, not to interrupt you, but when you were talking about that, somebody wrote in Emperor Kennedy.
Emperor, I'm not. See, I will allow you to say
all
whatever you
love,
want.
Brother,
you know?
All that love.
So he said. And this is the guy that wears lift, he wears a pompadour, wears his hair up in a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He said you can only have an inch and a quarter hair unless, like myself, you need to do a comb over.
Mm-hmm.
Which you have no idea what a comb over probably means because you have every hair you have. So, what do you think, that's funny or something? All right, please, let me get back to my interesting story.
I didn't mean to laugh.
So he had the haircutting squads driving
and
around.
And you know what? Mine's dark. I don't have to. It's not white. But go ahead. It's your story.
Undaunted, I shall press on. So, he had haircutting goon squads, haircutting squads. Go ahead, I'll just
stop. No.
The story was interesting, but honestly, go ahead.
He just popped back in. This guy right here is calling from England.
England.
This is Evil E. Santos out of England.
Evil, nice to talk to you tonight coming in there. Now, I'm going to try to wrap up this story.
Sure, go ahead.
But no matter how many times he interrupts me, I'll just keep going. Don't worry about it. I know people are dying to hear the story. Somebody is anyway. So, North Korea, they got these haircut and goon squads running around, and I took umbrage with that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, I don't care what missiles he's got, the idea of making people get their haircut, the goon squads jump out and they shave your head bald.
Right.
And I thought, well, we need to get together and leave San Diego and go to L.A. and take a plane to South Korea. Now, once we're in South Korea, street by street, village by village, city by city, we need to go forward to North Korea. We're going to cross the 38th parallel line, and I'm asking all the South Koreans that are with me to embrace your North Korean relatives. These are cousins, uncles you haven't heard from and seen from in decades. We embrace the North Koreans. We continue on street by street, village by village, city by city, until we get Kim Jong-il, shave his head bald, throw him out of Korea, one Korea, freedom, democracy. And now, I assume that people listen to that would say, oh, Bill's being sarcastic about the haircut. Next day, the FCC, or 2 days later, the FCC came in to my radio station and told my radio station, you cannot advocate the overthrow of a foreign country on AM radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't lose a job on that one, but it was shortly after I lost that one. That was shortly after the communists came and all that, so I lost that one in there. But here, on America's last bastion of freedom,
right,
we can talk about anything. And it doesn't matter. If you think something is wrong, that's what Screwdriver and I are here to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
If your state is passing laws that can affect us today, and maybe Evil E, is that correct?
Yes, he's in London.
Evil E. Okay, I put my glasses back on. Sorry. We need to know what's going on in the foreign countries, too.
Right.
Like our good friend from Mexico City called up the other day.
Right.
And, of course, our good friend up there in Finland was showing us some problems they're having up there.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know about this, and we need to discuss it. Because the rain doesn't fall on any one person. It falls on all of us. You follow me? Deep philosophy.
Right.
Okay, good. Now, if we don't stick together, the government will always keep us separate. But right now in Congress, they're trying to take this form of communication away from us. Congress is saying, I was reading up on this, they want to make this better for everybody.
Right.
It's fine where it is. Leave us alone. Because if we lose this contact, you and I will just be limited to our local area.
Exactly.
And then the more I think the government can keep us separated.
Right. Charlie just typed in, he is half right, we are dying. Or actually, that was Art. And then Charlie typed in, peace and love in Korea. He's listening.
Hmm. He's wondering what Kim Jong-il is doing tonight. Let's say he's passing all the power over to his son. And his Yahoo sons that want to send the bomb that South
mm-hmm.
Korean island.
Right.
Well, as much as I badmouth China, let me make this a good time to say, hello, China? Roll on down to North Korea and slap them right in the face and tell them to fly right. That whole area is a tinderbox.
Mm-hmm.
If North Korea attacks South Korea, full-on attack, we have to defend South Korea.
Right.
Why? I don't know. Now, if we attack North Korea,
right.
China
right.
is going to attack us. And I can see maybe China want to take over North Korea and South Korea, but we're Americans.
Right.
Do you really care? I mean, we care about human life.
Right.
But do you really give a shit about what happens over there?
No.
No. No. I'm being honest about this right now. I care about human life, but we're Americans. We stick our nose in everybody's business.
Yep.
There's got to be other countries closer to South Korea that will help them. Japan, let them fight. Let them help with that, you know?
Yep.
Okay. Enough of this. And no more politics. No more talk.
Well, yeah, okay.
Every now and then it bugs me, though. You know what?
Yeah.
Why? Again, we have homeless people.
Right. Well, here, I'm going to throw you a curveball right now.
All right, then. You say I'm getting bored?
No.
Right. No?
Okay. I got this in the mail the other day. It's to stop the UN from making amnesty for all illegals a global law. UN to decide on immigration policies, not the states. During the meeting, the U.S. State Department released a document lambasting Arizona immigration law. The document said a recent Arizona law has generated significant attention and debate at home and around the world. The issue is being addressed in a court action that argues that the federal government has the authority to set and enforce immigration law. That action is ongoing. Parts of the law are currently enjoined. That's on the blog and it's under the heading "Stop the UN from Making Amnesty for Illegals a Global Law."
Well,
also at the bottom, there's the links to every. You can send it.
Yeah.
You can send it, if you send one fax, it'll go to 535 congressmen in one shot. And there's everything there. It's all the statement, everything you want to say. All you got to do is click on the link, sign your name, hit the button, and it goes to 535 people. The fax numbers are there. You can send. You can even send one to Obama if you want. But everything is there to do that.
He's got a big lip, doesn't he?
That's okay.
You know, did you hear about why he got the big lip?
Yeah.
He got the elbow in basketball?
That's okay. I got Tiger Lily, are you there?
Hi. Is this Phil?
Yes, it is.
And it's also Bill Kennedy. Good evening.
She asked me a question the other day.
I'm Bill.
This is Bill Kennedy. This is Tiger Lily out of Nevada, Bill.
Tiger, that's why we try to refer to him as Screwdriver, because a lot of people get us confused. He's Phil, I'm Bill. So for our listeners and all that, we'll call him Screwdriver, and I'm Bill. Okay?
Cool.
And then the thing I wanted to tell you about was she asked me if Screwdriver was, they called me that because of what I drank.
Oh, no.
I don't drink.
No.
There was three guys named Philip, and Bill decided to peg us all with a nickname.
It's confusing, you know?
Yeah, so I got pegged with Screwdriver, but that's how that came about.
Well, it's a lot better than my two gym friends. One was a giant gym, so he was what? Big Jim. And the other guy was a shorter guy, so we called him Little Jim.
Right.
And little did I realize that as the years went by, he didn't like being called Little Jim.
Right.
And he didn't say nothing until, so now we just call Jim Big Jim. Makes it easier.
Right. But the reason I asked Tiger Lily to call now, Bill, is we're going to shift gears a little bit until the other people decide,
yeah.
You know, they get their chance to call.
Yeah.
She wrote an article in Quick Throttle
uh-huh.
about the stop in Vegas for some guys. And if you want to enlighten people on that, go ahead. I'll let you talk about it.
Sure. I'll just give you a brief rundown. I'm Tiger Lily with Quick Throttle Magazine, and I work. It's a regional it's a national magazine with regional content. So when I write articles, it goes in to 190,000 readers in California, Nevada, Arizona, and New Mexico. With that said, I'm the low man on the totem pole in my magazine. So at the last minute, somebody couldn't go to the Bike Fest to cover Bike Fest. So the boss called me and he says, "Hey, you live in Las Vegas. Do you think you could cover Bike Fest?" And I said, "Well, sure." So I went over and I you know, just started passing out magazines and took pictures. And then my camera broke, so my husband loaned me his cell phone camera. And on one of my trips to my car to get more magazines, I see this interesting display at the exiting Cashman Center. That's where the main events were taking place at Cashman. There was a poker run and everything. People could either pay $30 to get in or $50 if they wanted to participate in a poker run. Well, there were these four guys that were on the wall, towards the wall, and this cop, each one of them had a cop in front of them. And there were two cops on the bench, and I went over to the cop on the bench and I said, "What's going on? Are these guys getting the tickets?" And the guy on the bench, the cop says, "This is North Las Vegas Metro Police Department." And he said, "Oh, no, we just don't recognize their patch." And so I'm like, interesting. So because I'm a motorcyclist, I mean, I've always been, and I'm still am, a law-abiding citizen. When I started working for Quick Throttle Magazine in March of this year, I started associating myself with people in Abate and the COC and meeting people. I got to meet Gimme Jimmy with the U.S. Defenders. I interviewed him. And I was hearing all of these really sensational stories, like violations of their rights. And they seemed so incredible to me that, you know, this can't happen. So that some of these stories just came to the forefront of my mind, and I'm watching these guys getting like inspected and stuff by these cops. So I started taking pictures, and then the cop on the bench saw that I was really close to the sergeant, because there were four cops. Each cop had one of the detained guys, and they were all members of the same motorcycle club, brand new club called High Riders out of San Diego. The nicest four guys you'd ever want to know. And so he yelled at me really loud, and he says, "Hey, lady, show some respect." And I really didn't know he was talking to me, you know, but I turned around to see who, and it was, holy cow. So I kind of retreated like a spanked puppy, and then I kind of went around, and I went up to him and I turned on my recorder and I identified myself as a reporter for Quick Throttle magazine. And I said, well, exactly what is going on with these bikers? I really would like to know. And he said, I can't tell you anything. And so if you want to talk to anybody, you're going to have to talk to the sergeant. So I waited for the sergeant to be free and I motioned for him to talk to me. So he came over and I got him on recording and I asked, what's going on? And he says, I'm not at liberty to tell you, but if you want to ask them yourself, you can. And I've got that on recording. So as soon as one of the guys got freed, I motioned for him to come over to talk to me. And just as he started to walk over towards me, the sergeant that just told me that I can talk to him when they were done, grabs him by the shoulder and herds him and his three friends out of Cashman Center. And I went running after them, and, you know, they were walking, and I said, hey, wait, you know, and so they were talking, but they would not stop. So we were talking and walking at the same time, and I said, well, what happened? And they said, the president, am I allowed to say the F word online?
You can say anything you want, sweetheart.
This is the last bastion of freedom.
Well,
absolutely.
The president of the club says, I thought this was fucking America, and I've got that on tape. He was so pissed off. And I said, well, what happened? He says, nothing. And so he explained to me what happened. They were in the bathroom, and they had just finished, this was their last poker run, and one of them had a really high card. And so they were expecting to win. So they're in
right.
They says, okay, before we go check our hand, let's go to the bathroom. So there were two stalls available. So there are two guys, and there was a fourth guy. He was a straggler. But the three guys went into the bathroom, and so the president was waiting for somebody to hurry up and get out of the bathroom. So he says, hey, hurry up, bitches. Let's go get a beer. You know, I guess that's how you guys talk in the bathrooms. You know, whatever. That doesn't offend me. But there was
a nutshell cop. Yeah, we're just as good as the women when they talk in the bathroom.
We say some pretty salty things sometimes. when he said that, there was a Metro cop behind him, and he says, did you just call me a Metro bitch? And so the president turned and said, no, sir, I wasn't talking to you. And he says, get your fucking ass out here, and I want to talk to you. So then, you know, he was very compliant. He went out, and then the next thing you know, there's more Metro cops escorting the other two guys out of the bathroom. And so they're detaining them. The fourth guy who was straggling, he's like, there's my friend. Said, hey, are you with this club? Yeah, well, you get there and get to the wall too. So that's when I came in and I saw them. I saw the cop. The president was ordered to take off all of his clothing, and he was telling me, because I went later on, because they were like, you know, we're uncomfortable talking here. The sergeant just told us, get out of Nevada and don't ever come to Nevada. If you ever come to Nevada, we're going to arrest your ass. And then I said, really? So I'm looking back, and I could see the guys all giving them the skunk eye, like watching them, making sure that they were leaving. And it's like, what the hell? What did you do? They go, not a fucking thing. And I'm like, and then it's dawning on me because I was so upset. And Phil, you're a member of Bolt, and of course I know David Steele well.
Hey,
David's been he's my hero.
Let me interrupt you for a second. I'm going to do something here and introduce you to one of the founding members of Bolt. Hold on a second. You've heard the Bianco brothers, right?
Yes.
Okay. Merlin, are you there, Merlin?
I am, indeed.
Merlin,
hello.
I'd like you to meet Tiger Lily out of Nevada.
Tiger Lily, it's a pleasure. I have read some of your work.
Thank you.
And I have heard of this, and on one hand, once I get past the angry,
yes.
I realize that I've arrived at an inundation of this kind of crap that it no longer surprises me. And that's
right.
That's a terrible place to be. Is this the same incident that after some discussion or a few weeks, maybe, the sergeant on hand was reprimanded and had to somebody from Metro apologized and said that we do not have, nor do we ever mean to throw somebody out of town? Is this the same incident, or am I confusing a couple?
If that happened, I don't know about it. These
okay.
guys
that happened,
are arrogant.
That's the best kept secret in Nevada, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
As far as I know, there has never been an apology. I'm sure that I would have, that the president,
yeah.
he doesn't mind me telling his name. His name is Troy Lawson, very nice guy out of San Diego. And he would have, he's, we've been in close contact, and
yeah,
he would have told me if some, he did tell me that he attempted to file a an internal affairs complaint, and he wanted to sue them. But when he consulted his attorney, basically he was told that he gave up his rights by allowing the cops to let him disrobe. So he actually did may have had the choice, but the reality is when you're on the ground and you're faced with a badge and a gun and somebody telling you take your clothes off, I'm going to take pictures.
Absolutely.
You know, you're gonna yeah. And I wouldn't have believed it except for I became an activist when I met David. He was speaking at a meeting. Dave Stilwell, who is a BOLT member here in Nevada. And he was talking about how, you know, you could, it's legal to wear a smaller helmet. If, you know, if you want to wear a smaller helmet, you know, I'll help you construct one. And so that really kind of turned me on in a really great way because I hate wearing helmets. And so, and then I studied him too, and I studied his work, and I saw that he was responsible for having 56 helmet tickets completely dismissed in Henderson, Nevada. And I saw all of that with my own eyes. I looked at the, you know, the information and the data, and I could, and then the BOLT people. Oh my gosh, Mark Temple, Donnie Breeze. I got to meet all three of us. The four of us met at all together in Idaho, and wow, I felt like I was in the presence of royalty, motorcycle activism royalty. These guys are so smart, and they're not lawyers. But I trust them more than a lawyer because the difference between a lawyer and an activist like Dave and Mark and Donnie and Greenwald in Wisconsin is they're actually on the front lines and they're understanding what it is to face a tyranny, to face somebody with a badge and a gun and how to.
I got news for you. I go through that every day.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I want to grab a moment here. First of all, I want to say, Tiger Lily, Screwdriver and I have a great respect for your magazine. In fact, that it wasn't that long ago with the Vietnam Traveling Wall, Chris, Screwdriver, myself, all were the main speakers at the wall. Chris came down, gave a good presentation. It was rather nice. And, of course, everybody loves Lisa, so that's not a problem there.
Uh-huh.
So we want to say good things about the magazine. I'm over that now. But I do want to, I don't know the club in San Diego, but I feel compelled to say this. Because I go to a lot of motorcycle clubs, one percenters, and I tell them, I don't say I teach them, I suggest to them how to prepare for traffic stops. Again, I'm not met these gentlemen in San Diego. I'm assuming one of the runs I'll bump into them. But they have responsibility to understand how to deal with the police.
Mm-hmm.
The police would not give you information when you're asking about it. And I can understand that because that, the cops this time were protecting the biker's identity and rights and all that. You're an outsider, so I can understand that part. Although as a reporter, you have an obligation to collect the information.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say to these gentlemen from San Diego, I implore you, spend a little time with the biker rights programs. Know your rights. Know when they ask you a question and when they order you. Now, I've been asked on many occasions to open up my saddlebags.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I don't give permission. That's the end of the story. They asked me to take off my leather jacket. They want to take pictures of my tattoos and my arms. And I simply say, I don't give you permission. You need, in the first 30 to 45 seconds of the confrontation with the police officers, you, mean we the bikers, have to control the situation. The police have to know that the people they're dealing with has a knowledge of the law. They're going to control their temper. They're going to be the ones leading the police. The police normally, because of large crowds, they get a little bit upset, nervous, scared, and they go off whack, and they love to use all those four-letter words, and yet they say something if we say one or two.
Yeah.
We,
basically,
the motorcycle community.
It's just like when they pull us over, Bill. You know,
yeah.
It's not one car. It's like they bring the entourage.
You have you have an answer machine recording, right?
Yes.
Screwdriver comes prepared for this stuff here. So, gentlemen, San Diego, I'm hoping I get a chance to meet you, but what I say is not that important. Anybody you talk to should sit and talk to you and let you know how to deal with a California stop on your motorcycle, how to deal with the police. Remember,
right, and
let them do it.
I was going to say, my friend David Stilwell has coined the term guerrilla lawfare, and as a result of this, because I was so frustrated, I was supposed to go to Idaho with them for a motorcycle rights kind of a convention thing, and at the last minute I said, hey, you guys, my boss is asking me to cover Bike Fest, so I didn't go. I stayed here, and they went over and started teaching about the Fourth Amendment, and then it clicked to them because they put me on speakerphone, and I told them everything that happened, and they're like, wow, here we're educating about the Fourth Amendment, and Tiger Lily is living it, you know, living the violations of the Fourth Amendment. So from that, David Stilwell coined the term guerrilla lawfare, and he broke it down just like how you were describing, just knowing the very basics, the difference between an encounter and a detainment, and it was very eye-opening. I don't care how smart you are. I consider my husband one of the smartest men on the face of the earth, and even he got one of the questions wrong. Like, for example, a cop comes up to you and says, I want to see some ID. Is that an encounter or is that a detainment?
It sounds like an order.
It sounds like an order, but
Driver and I are only, because we get stopped so many times, we're more relaxed and comfortable with it. Flashing lights and all that's not going to affect us. We have our driver's license, insurance, registration. We have everything, so when it comes out, we're ready. We don't say to them things like, oh, I hope you're having a nice day, officer, or gee, these are not our friends. You need to know how to prepare yourself.
They're more worried about the one-palm ball-peen hammer sitting on top of my saddlebag than the knife that's in my pocket.
classes to train how to deal with it. And we bikers, we're so fragmented, we're not coming together. And, you know, I feel about all the political rights organizations. I'm not as enthusiastic as you are about them. But I say over and over again, I believe it's responsibility of every motorcycle rider. In fact, let's make that every American. I'm on American street. I'm on an American motorcycle. I'm an American. What right do you have to try to intimidate me? You, in essence, are no more important than the SDG&E guy or the telephone guy.
Exactly.
I am a citizen. I should not be afraid of the police. They should be afraid of us.
That's the way it's supposed to be. They are supposed to be working for us, not the other way around, them commanding us, you know. And I love what David Silva on his presentation, on his very first guerrilla lawfare presentation, where he describes the difference between an encounter and a detainment. On one of his PowerPoint presentations, he says, I have a license to write it. You need a warrant to search it.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that's powerful.
Absolutely.
That's really powerful stuff. So when a cop comes up to you and says, I want to see some ID, technically that is not a detainment. They're expressing a want. They said, I want to. They didn't say, show me some ID. Show me is a detainment. So regardless whether it's a detainment or an encounter, they're trying to make it sound like a detainment. But what they're doing is they're just fishing for information so that they can arrest you. Because if they had enough information to arrest you and cite you or whatever, they wouldn't have to talk to you. That's why.
Well, that's just
so
like when they tell you we're going to handcuff you for your safety.
Funny thing.
Merlin, before you jump on our shoe, Merlin, you are a unique person. Would you tell Tiger a little bit of who you are and the fact that you travel on your motorcycle pretty much around America, and then after telling them what you are about, would you tell us what it's like traveling through so many different states with different laws, if you would?
Oh, can I laugh while I'm telling that? Because it's really fun. Tiger Lily, I'm a 61-year-old, got tired of being unemployed, so I decided I must be retired.
You're younger than my husband.
and pretty much ran away to the road because that's the best circus I know. And I took off in May, and over the course of the summer, I did 20 states, 20,000 miles, a new granddaughter, and had no no contact at all with law enforcement. Really, really interesting. Kind of surprised me when I stopped and thought about it one time. But if you're paying attention to what's going on in the world, you continue to see where there's law enforcement where it's working and law enforcement where it's not working. And where it's not working is at the center with the four guys and you and four officers being bullies. What I did in the 90s when Steve and Quig, Tony Pan,
Red Baron,
Yazko, you know, I spent a very good, very large portion of my time running around the state, teaching ticket fighter how to handle a stop, how to handle a ticket, and
that's when you guys were called the Helmet Defense League, right?
We were the Helmet Law Defense League, yeah, HLD.
Oh,
law.
Cool.
Yeah, we were also Howdy Doody Little League, but the HLDL. We realized a couple of things. One, the officer, he is in fact very often more intimidated of two or three bikers than we were, mm-hmm. because he has been taught a level of preemptive paranoia.
We don't have any.
Yeah, preemptive paranoia. They would mm-hmm. teach the rookie cop that, oh man, they'll hide. Literally, I saw the document on this where the Highway Patrol explained in a bulletin about how the women carry the drugs and the guns and knives because we won't search them, and we'll build shotguns into the handlebars, all of which are, you know, besides stupid, just pretty damned impossible in some cases. But one of the things we realized, and I would try to explain, is the law. You need to understand some certain basic tenets of the law. But first, before you get to use that, you need to understand the officer has been set out to do an extremely scary, difficult job with a gun, a badge, and a part toolbox. He doesn't have all of the tools and education he should have to do the job to really maintain everybody's rights. And then when they're pumped up on some paranoia and 1960s drive-in theater type biker legend crap, it gets very difficult to deal with some officers. So one of the things is to try and keep the officer, try and allow him to relax. At the same time, Don Blancet out of Sacramento came up. Yeah, you try and diffuse it. Mm-hmm. Don Blancet, Bolt Sacramento, there's a legend in several minds, including mine. He called me one day and he says, oh, you got to try this. And he explained a tactic. Red uh-huh. Baron and I went out a week later and I decided, oh, I'm going to try this. Two police officers in San Diego pulled us over for helmet sights. Uh-huh. We stopped in front of an outdoor bar, a lot of tables and people out front, Sunday afternoon in Pacific Beach, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And as I got off of my bike, locked everything in the back box, San Diego police officer walked around his cop, around the front of his car, 12 to 15 feet away from me, and I stuck both hands as high up in the sky as I could reach. And he stopped, mm-hmm. and he backed up a little, and I lowered my hands. And every time he would come closer to me, I would raise my hands like Don taught me. And when he backed up, I'd relax. And as he's walking back and forth, he says, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm afraid. You have a gun.
Ooh.
And he said, and people were pretty much looking at this because behind me is the bar with the tables and 30 customers. Red Baron is looking at me going, what the hell are you up to? And the officer tries to make a joke about it. And he says, mostly to the crowd, oh, you know, yeah, he's afraid of me. And a guy in the crowd said something that's just classic. He said, well, you got a gun. And the cop hadn't realized that he was the threat. It just hadn't occurred to him that he was a threat. And finally, he relaxed. And as I saw his body angle shift, I relaxed. And he said, can I approach? Mm-hmm. And I said, sure, come on up. Just, you know, would you please put the snap back on the holster? Because he had the little flap, the safety strap, unsnapped.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I said, would you put the snap back on the holster? And he said, oh. And he had done it without realizing. He had gotten out of the car in the middle of a street in Pacific Beach, California, on a mm-hmm. Sunday afternoon to do a what was once termed a silly little helmet ticket.
Uh-huh.
And he had automatically unsnapped the pistol safety strap off the holster. So
instinct.
Yeah,
wow.
Instinct training. And mm-hmm. he has a level of agitation. And I began
Roland,
to understand.
If I can, I want
to
share one of the
yes.
Tricks that I use an awful lot. You know me for a long time, and you know I'm pretty monotone.
Well past
if you raise your
yeah.
voice to me an octave, I talk a little bit softer.
Yeah.
Where
and,
do you...
I have seen
keep
that work.
Yelling and, louder if I keep talking softer.
And I
try
have
that
seen
next
you do
time.
It. It's
Anybody
amazing.
Raise their voice a little softer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now you control
oh,
the situation.
I was thinking
when I control
about
the situation... Body language, language, everything is all your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Merlin, you are in the you were the aerospace engineer or something, weren't you?
Yeah, I
Brother
was.
Merlin?
Yeah.
Aircraft, you're well educated. Screwdriver and I are not as educated as you are, sir, but we have learned to. We have
oh,
to deal
oh, you'd
with
be
these
surprised
facts.
How many classes I walked out on.
How many classes you slept through? What'd you say,
yeah,
sir?
You know, I can't take any more education. I need a sandwich.
not one technique doesn't work for everyone.
Right.
For one works
right.
for another. Screwdriver does not use my technique. I speak a little softer. That is not screwdriver's appeal at all. I mean, it works with you.
But
that boy gets emotional.
But Bill, you've never been disposed to actually become a bolter either. And Bolt was the heavy
Bolt
duty
member.
Arm of the California MROs. Bikers of Lesser Tolerance,
mm-hmm.
Blancet, and oh God, I'm losing names now.
Mark Temple,
and I think yeah. was in on this too, up in Sacramento. They went out one night and actually poked potatoes up Highway Patrol car exhaust pipes. Just on one hand, because they
Are
could. yeah, and it's. Let me put it this
could,
way.
Yeah.
I heard the legend firsthand from the guys that claim to do it. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I've believed it happily
believe.
For 20 years
yeah.
or
yeah.
18 years. Because Bolt was more in your face. HLDL,
yeah.
we tried to educate our idea on how to handle a secret, like the Highway Patrol had secret stuff. We would scream for the nearest fax machine and just run them off. And we would take things to court, you know, Bianco v. CHP. Bianco always gets top billing, except for Quigley. Quigley always got top billing. But it is different approach. And the name of your bolter there in Vegas, who's done so well in Henderson with the 56 tickets, who's that
David
again?
David Stillwell. He is my hero. Oh, my God.
That's amazing because Henderson County was one of the Clark County, and then Henderson's in Clark, isn't it? Henderson and Las Vegas, that's all Clark County.
I think so.
Clark County, their sheriff was the biggest nutcase on the block.
He decided
he didn't care what the law was or how to do it, but he was going to enforce the law however he
right.
made it up to. And it was nuts. This is
the
guy.
You know, now that you guys touched on something like that, I got a guy that's on the phone. I'm going to bring him in right now. I want you guys to listen to this story. This is hilarious. They wrote him a ticket for leaving his motorcycle unattended while he started it up and let it warm up. They also gave him a ticket for no turn signals, which I told him he should have put on a while ago. And they were going to give him a third ticket. But this guy's name is Sasha. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You want to start from the beginning? And right now you're talking to Merlin and Tiger Lady and Bill and myself and everybody that's listening.
How's it going, guys?
Good evening,
Hi.
Sasha.
Yeah, you know, it was about after 1 in the morning, just letting the bike warm up on a Friday night. It's like 30 degrees out, and it took a while to warm up that twin cam, so I was out in front, wasn't sitting on it, saying goodbye to my friends and all, and officers were on the right side of the bar on the end of the street, and then I jumped on the bike and left. As she was pulling into the alley, was going up the road, and 2 miles up the road, I get stopped, and I'm thinking it's for something else that I might have done 2 miles away from the bar.
Well,
and then
wasn't it a different person that stopped you for her?
Yeah. as far as I see, yeah.
They are stopping you away from the bar to keep you away from your friends and all that. They want to control everything. That's why they wait a little distance.
There was nobody on the street but one car that I passed, you know, at 1:30 in the morning, and then a cop came from a side street, got behind me, lit me up, so I thought that's who's stopping me for whatever he thought I was doing wrong on a Friday night, checking me out, and instead she walks up and starts naming off three things that I did wrong that are misdemeanors and could impound my bike.
Yeah, working very well.
And that
impound,
was for...
Impound the bike? What state, Sasha?
This is California.
Oh, Fascist 101.
Yeah, she was saying...
This is one of the guys that hangs around me and can verify how my day goes when I go downtown.
This is the Oceanside San Diego war zone.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we like to live in those places.
I used to live there. I was a Marine.
I'm a mile and a half out the back gate.
He's also a Marine.
Cool.
Marley, what were you? You in the military?
Yeah, Army.
There you go. That's two Army. Good going. All right. All right, so please continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but then, you know.
I love
got,
Marines anyway.
You know, got listed off for leaving the motor vehicle unattended. I said I wasn't aware of that. I've never heard that.
What CVC did that show up? What number?
22515A. I've got it right here. So give me a second and I'll read it to you.
Sasha, keep going. You got it now?
I got it right now.
Let him jump in and read this section.
It says unattended vehicles, 215 alpha. No person driving or in control of or in charge of a motor vehicle shall be permitted to stand on any highway unattended without first effectively setting the brakes therein and stopping the motor thereof.
Were you on private
about
property?
This time, the transmission engaging and the vehicle leaving on its own.
Yeah, but my bike was backed against the sidewalk on a slant of a hill in front of the bar, so it wasn't moving.
Oh, but
it was on a slant.
Private
so the back
property?
Tire,
okay,
it was
one
on
at a time, guys.
Street in front of the bar.
There you go.
Okay, on the street.
So
yeah.
The bike was in neutral idling, and it's 30-degree weather. It took a while to warm it up, so it was backed against the curb. It wasn't moving anywhere, and, you know.
But that was the probable cause to bring their attention to you.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't stand up anywhere, but again, they cannot stop you erratically. But if there's
she can't stop him almost 20 minutes after that, 2.5 miles away, because she had somebody
especially
else
if she
him.
Didn't actually witness the thing.
No, she did. She did.
Oh, she
She's
did.
The one,
okay.
She came from the bar and already had in her head that this is what she's getting me for. That, the turn signals, tried to get me for speeding. I wasn't speeding. You know, they didn't get me for that. They just got me for no turn signals. That's a given. And leaving a motor vehicle unattended running. And I asked, because I was done talking to her at that point because she was giving me attitude. I go, I want to talk to watch duty. So she stopped talking to me, and he showed up within 10 minutes and mediated the situation. And I got the ticket anyway for it. You know, but
when did you get the ticket?
Just last Friday.
God.
What are you going to do about it?
I'm taking him to school on that one.
I don't see where it says in the vehicle code where it says if it doesn't specify motorcycle or SUV idling when there's no emergency brake on your bike, and it doesn't specify motorcycle and how many feet you got to be near it or on it if it's running.
That would be my question. Define unattended. Can I get to it before somebody else will?
I was right within feet of it.
So
were the cops on the right side. My bouncer friends and me were in front. And on top of it, what about them when they've stopped me and the three cops that were talking to me that night? They left their motor vehicles unattended, too, on the side of the road, attending to me. So how is that?
I played that one on a CHP out of Monterey one time. He cited me for speed and then proceeded to have me follow him in a high-speed pursuit while he went after another car that he thought we were racing. And, the judge was really thrilled to have him stay after court because I got mine dismissed while he had to explain what the hell he was doing. Soon as you counter, you demand a citation that three officers walked away from their motorcycles with them running, please define, I'd go that way.
They weren't on motorcycles that night. They were in vehicles.
Oh, well, that's
they're in squad
the
cars, but they leave them unattended running all the time when they had to go on a stop.
Yeah. So now that we know the law is only good for civilians, not police officers,
exactly.
Where else would you like me to take this?
Exactly, because they're coherent enough, I guess, to push their emergency brake in, and I'm not.
You guys, this is I'm very fascinated by this, but I have to leave. But please keep me posted. I'm very interested in Sasha's story. I would love to know what the outcome is of that. And
I can't wait to see what the citation will be in the mail.
Definitely, please keep me posted. And Phil, would you please give him my email address or a means to contact me so that I can, you know, follow the story, because that sounds very juicy.
Sure, and if you get done with what you told me to, you're more than welcome to call back.
Okay, all righty. Thanks, you guys. Take care.
Good night. Thanks for checking in.
Okay, bye-bye.
Sasha and Phil.
Yes.
When I heard the word impounded, was the machine impounded?
She does it all the time. She tries to impound everything.
Yeah.
She stood there with a gun on me.
So you're dealing
on top of my saddlebag, and then asked me if I had any weapons on me. So when I went to reach for the knife, I said, "Hey," I swung my arm out to the left, and I said, "I'm going to reach in and put it on the seat." And she pulled out her gun and told me, "Don't do anything irrational or anything like that, because she hasn't shot anybody today."
No, I haven't shot anybody in the last hour either.
Yeah.
What?
Merlin, they pulled me over a while back, downtown Oceanside, the middle of the afternoon, 2-3, for speeding. I was in the slow lane doing 38 in the 35. They pulled me over, probable cause, you were speeding. But, Mr. Kennedy, we're not going to write you up.
Yeah. Well,
what kind of state do I live in that I'm doing 3 miles an hour with speed in the slow lane? I could just as easily say, okay, I'm going to quit riding motorcycles. But who's that going to make happy?
Doesn't do anything. It's like
fighting best we can.
So the machine was impounded for a total of 2 infractions?
No, they didn't impound it.
Oh,
they didn't impound
it.
She threatened them. She wanted him to know that she had a bigger dick than he did.
Yeah.
Oh, she probably did, but hers was made by Smith & Wesson.
Exactly.
God, that's a smart remark. It amazes me that after what we did in the mid-90s, and I disappeared up into Riverside County and a few things, there was a lieutenant, Ken Carson, over there, who at one point, after we tied up half of his watch in San Marcos on traffic court for nearly a week, we planned on how to bring as many cops as possible into the same week, but not the same days. And we literally stripped his watch, his day watch. And at one point he said, "I don't care if they got a beach bucket on their head. Nobody in Oceanside gets a helmet ticket. That's enough. We can't afford to have our cops in San Marcos." And and then here it is. It's, you know, 15 years later, and you guys are, honest to God, right back to the basic crap. And it's got nothing to do with the helmet law. It's got nothing to do with international security, because, Sasha, as a Marine, I cannot fathom you as a security threat or terrorist threat to the United States.
I hope not.
You know, I mean, it just you read, write, and speak English, so right away, you step away from a lot of the category of threat.
Okay.
You're smart, you're willing to fight for your rights, so that steps you away from a ton of other things, including suicide bombers.
You know, Merlin, not to interrupt you, but I've been for about the last 6 or 7 months, I've been schooling him. And after he got that ticket, he went back and he talked to one of the sergeants that's biker-friendly.
Okay.
Only like 3 of them that are sergeants that have been around for 20-something years. All 3 of those guys know me very well. And he had two of his patrol women look up that citation, and they couldn't find it, according to what Sasha had told me.
They found it, but it was like the cheat sheet they had, and it just didn't really specify, because I asked, how many feet am I supposed to be away from my vehicle, or, you know, minutes unattended, and they didn't specify, just said any motor vehicle.
It seems to me like if you have to go into the legal fight, define unattended, and is it the same when I'm standing next to my vehicle as when the officers are standing next to theirs? You know, have each one of us unattended the vehicle, or am I just the only one? But we're dealing with infractions. This is Gestapo shit.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the fine is for that.
And,
you know, get the mail.
Listen, you guys, hang on 1 second. Patches, I know you're out there. I don't want to cut these two gentlemen off. I want them to kind of discuss this a little more because you also, being in the motorcycle organization, you understand the problems in Oceanside. So if you would hang on a little bit and listen to these two gentlemen, we'll bring you in next quick break. Okay, Patches? Sasha, Merlin, you want to jump back in and talk a little more, please?
Yeah.
I don't want to cut you off.
And well, Phil, I really respect and am proud to know you on that you're continuing the fight. It's hard, and it's hard some days
to
get up and
I agree
do
with
it.
That.
And
Sasha can tell you how frustrated I get and how pissed off I get, guys. But then I realize that's what they want me to do. So now
yes.
I casually and nonchalantly I talk to them and I treat them the way they treat me.
Because we are in control.
That's right.
Not them.
You're the only one out there doing it for the right reasons. Everybody else is getting paid. The officer, the traffic commissioner.
I ride around with a helmet. I get a wave, man. They won't even pull me over anymore.
Oh, I started waving at cops years ago, and it scared them. And
I can't give a wave at me anymore either. They just they look at me like, what's
yeah,
through me? They
the gray hair and the beard.
Whatever works. Whatever works.
Well, that's what was so fun about being gray-haired and beard on a tour bike. I literally go out trolling for tickets. We would go out, give each other helmet tickets for birthday presents. And it was neat because they would pull me over and go, but this isn't. And I said, no, it's a motorcycle. But it's different. Yeah, what's your point? But then I was, looking for a fight. But
you were younger
than me. That was how you got to the dance is what it was.
Yeah. See, I also got
I just went to court on November 4th. Had seven guys standing to my right. They sent a letter to me from the city attorney, asked me for 2 more weeks' time to be prepared when they go to court. I gave them the extension. When we got to court, the first thing that after I went down to San Diego, and the three Superior Court judges decided one for me and one against me, so I was one for one. I gave him the paper from the three Superior Court judges. He started talking to them. And as he went down the row, each one said, after the 2 weeks they asked me for the time to get prepared, we're not ready at this time, Your Honor. So I motioned for dismiss, and I got it.
It's good.
It's a long process.
I've had them so stupidly tied up in their own things. At one point I had a letter from a response to a plea from a district attorney, assistant district attorney, County of San Diego, that defined 27803B, the helmet law, four different ways, none of which was current or remotely accurate. And I sat there and I literally wrote my response to the response, including the phrase of either this young attorney is so stupid as to not be allowed to live or is intending to defraud the court and the defendant. And funny things, courts start seeing things like that in pleading papers, and even they have to stand back from
very
the old boy
network. I want
to
read it on a second if I can. You're making your case in court. You don't make your case beside the row of the police officer.
No.
Right.
That ain't his job. You don't care.
No, that's
yeah,
right
when
or wrong,
deal with
you
the officer.
It and get out of there. If you feel you have a right, as you pointed out,
everything doesn't count
brother,
except what's
and jury.
Exactly. Everything doesn't count except what's right there in the street, which means keep your cool. Allow the officer to try
questions.
And keep their cool.
Answer
If you can answer questions with a question, only speak in questions to where you do not make a statement of any kind. I want to look in your saddlebags. Do you have a warrant?
I don't give you permission.
You know, I don't. Yeah, if the only thing you're saying is, gee, I'm going to uphold my rights, and you know where they are, and I don't give you permission, is definitely one of them. You know, you're not in a TSA line where you have already, to a certain extent, and this is under discussion, allowed a certain amount of search. You're out in the middle of public, and you have not allowed any search until you acquiesce to it. Even the citation is not a pleading paper. All you're doing is agreeing to appear. You're not agreeing
That's right.
to enter a plea. It's not a pleading paper. You haven't been charged with anything. I actually, on occasion, several people, including myself, you know, they call the case and you say, yeah, I'm here. How do you plead? To what? I've agreed to appear. I'm here. See ya. And there's at
I
that
I want to
point,
bring another person who's going to talk about a motorcycle run.
Yeah.
Sasha, I'm hoping, well, I know you know screwdrivers, so you guys will keep up. And I'm hoping we get some of the information to Merlin because, you know, those big words he's used, he's pretty smart, actually. Hope we can help you on that, too.
I make this shit up as I go along, Bill. You know that.
Yeah.
Made that word up, for God's sakes.
And are you going to be at Bill's on the 12th?
I'm sorry, was that for me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to be at Bill's on the 12th, or you want to stop in on Saturday on the 4th?
I don't know anything about it.
Hang on, because we're going to bring somebody to talk to us.
Right.
Okay.
Patches, are you out there?
Hold on, Sash, you want to stay on the phone, or you want to listen in? Get educated.
I can listen in. I'm get educated.
All right.
Good
Patches,
boy.
Are you out there?
Oh, yeah, Bill, I'm still here. How about yourself?
We're fine. We appreciate you waiting. This information is, of course, one of the Oceanside bikers who's just trying to tell everybody what's going on and the importance of how to deal with tickets and getting stopped. You are familiar with getting stopped by the police, aren't you, sir?
Oh, yes. Got stopped a couple of times, but doesn't matter to me.
Patches, what I want you to know, please tell us what's going on with your event. Your motorcycle club is called the Grifters. They're out of San Diego.
Yes.
You have an event coming up here Saturday. Will you tell us what's going on in your world, brother?
Well, we're going to have it's the third annual Christmas and Toy and Food Drive. And it's actually the Postal Center of Vista's third annual event. But we're going to help them out a little bit and try to bring more of the biker community, you know, to work with the public to make us, you know, well-rounded and, you know, people don't think that we're bad bikers. So we're going to have a sign-up on Saturday, December 4th, of course, at your cycle shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles on 3028 San Luis Rey Road, which everybody should know. And then we're going to end up at the Postal Center of Vista. That address is 993C South Santa Fe Avenue, Vista, California. All this is for a good cause. I mean, if you're just sitting and doing nothing on Saturday, I'm sorry for short notice, but I try to put this together in 2 weeks. So I'm just doing the best that I can, but everybody is welcome. I don't care if you have a bike or not. We got some good raffle prizes that we're going to try to raffle for, and food, drinks, and such. I'm kind of happy with this particular one. I'm a veteran, and for this donations, we're going to give to the benefits, which will benefit the USO children of the servicemen and women that are deployed at this time. And then you can bring a canned or non-perishable food, and that will go towards to benefit the Veterans Village of San Diego.
That's Bill Kennedy again. Now, if I want to drop some canned or non-perishable food off, is there buckets out, barrels out, or can I go to the Postal Center before the event and drop stuff off?
Yes, you can. We do have other sites that we do have the boxes for donation for either a toy, you know, for a boy and girl, or non-perishable canned goods. They will be set out at the different motorcycle clubs places, Left Coast Choppers, the Boar's Nest, let's see, there's a couple more that I have. I got one of our members has a chiropractic office, which also has a box. And the boxes will be set out till at least December 18th, and then they will all be gathered at that time. So,
I want to say something. You know, it's your first time. I know you're a little nervous, but you do an outstanding job. By the way, did I mention to you that we're being heard in 15 different countries? Don't want you to get nervous or nothing, Patches, okay?
Oh, thank you, Bill.
That's an inside joke for everybody listening. He was a little concerned, but you're doing a great job, Patches.
All right, well, thank you, Bill. And
you're not done talking yet. You've got to talk for 45 more minutes, okay?
Oh, 45 more minutes. I don't know if I can talk that long.
All right. Let's start with some questions. What time at the Kennedy store?
Okay, we're going to start off registration at 10 o'clock, and we're going to end it right before 11 o'clock. That gives us a time to pack up, and the Grifters Motorcycle Club will be leading the event out to the Vista Postal Center. And that's where we'll have, you know, the raffles given out. We're going to have some burgers and fries and everything. And hopefully we'll kind of get there approximately around 12-ish, we say.
Any suggested donations or?
Yes. What we're going to try to do is you can, you know, with your toy or whatever, perishable, but we're also going to have a $10 donation along with that. And along with that, you will get one ticket. You know, my wife just tried to break in on me here. Excuse me. with that,
Are you locked in the bathroom and she has to break in?
Yeah, you know how women are.
I just marry them.
they're fun, aren't they? What we're going to try.
How about
to
your phone number or the postal's phone number so local people here is going to call in and check some more information? You got that information with you?
Oh, yes, I do. The Postal Center can be reached at 760-941-4392, or you can give me a holler at 760-685-5467. Oh, hey, Bill, I forgot one more thing.
Sure, buddy.
Like you said, I can talk forever. But anyway.
You got it. I'm not going to shut you up.
One of the raffle prizes, just to let everybody know, it will be a .45 black powder pistol, and it will come.
I saw
in
that
a,
this afternoon. It looks beautiful.
Oh, and it will come in a nice shadow box. And what we're going to do, like I said, with that $10 donation, you'll get one ticket, and you'll can eat some food. And we're going to sell for two tickets for $5. You know, so I think that's a really good deal. Like I said, I would like to win the pistol myself. But anyway,
put yourself not available. I think that'd be a little bit curious if one of the grifters won the black shadow, the black powder pistol, excuse me.
But you know the old term for grifter was a con man, right?
Well, you know.
Wait a minute. That's what everybody used to say. No, it's a skilled marksman and fighter.
Listen, Patrick, I got you, too. I want you to tell everybody what your bottom rocker is, please. First tell me in Espanol, then tell me in English.
It's Primero Los Hermanos, which means brothers first.
Brothers first.
Yeah. Again. So, but like I said, we're all brothers, and I consider the whole motorcycle community all brothers and sisters.
Good, Bill, we belong.
Yeah, I couldn't be doing this if I didn't know you, Bill, so I'm
great.
Glad that...
You're doing just great, buddy.
Well, thanks, Bill. I got to make you look good, too, here. You've helped me a lot, so I got to give some credit to you, so...
You're doing fine, brother. Your whole organization is a class act, what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and like I said, next time, hopefully, I'll get a hold of you a lot sooner and try to get more of our events. And if people are interested, they're always welcome to come around, see what we're about. I love to talk to people. I'm a lot better in person than I'm on, talking on the phone, I guess. But
Patrick, you made a statement. Did you say you were in the military one time?
Yes, I'm a retired combat vet. I spent my
Services.
Time in, Marine Corps.
Oh.
So,
is Oceanside and Vista where Marines come to die? Is that what?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
well, actually, we cover the, we cover South Carolina, we cover the South California area. So,
yeah. You were the guys who had daughters, and the rest of us weren't allowed to date. That's what I grew up with.
Now, wait a minute. My daughter's 24 years old right now.
Well, so is mine. I'm not dating her either.
Oh, man, you guys are great. So I really do appreciate and everything that you're allowing me to do this, and I just hope it's going to be a good day for one thing. They say it's going to rain, but then they say it's going to be nice. So what can you say? Hey, bikers
we'll cross that
riding
bridge
all
come to it.
Exactly.
I want to invite everybody at this run here again. This is going to be this Saturday, December 4th, Kennedy Scotsman Cycles. You know where I am and all that. But when you get to the event, walk up and talk to Patches. He's a friendly guy. He'll make you feel right at home. And it'll be a family event there, good music and all that. A little Christmassy stuff, I hope, and all that. Patches,
all
once
right.
again, hey, for me to rate you, you did a great job. But you worried about it. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So next year I may not get any air time at all. You may take over the show from me.
Right.
On the bright side, you're no longer a virgin.
No, you go.
Exactly.
Well, all right. Well, thank you guys again. And like I said, this is a big
call.
Good,
I invite you to hang on for a second. This is something I was showed Bill earlier. And we decided we're going to play this. This was sent to me by Art out of Poway. It's called One More Gift for Christmas, and it's cheap, too. So I want you guys, this is the Internet. We can talk any way we want to talk. This is the last domain where it's free. Free speech is the way to go. And I just want you guys to listen to this, and then after it's done, Bill and I are going to take a short break, let you listen to this. And then we'll be right back. But I want you guys to stick around and listen to this.
Oh, yeah. This is one of his.
Oh, yeah. I will do that, Bill.
All right.
Hold on. Here we go.
All right.
The presents are open and dinner is done. The ball games are over. The other team won. So it seems a little out of sorts. Already bored with his new Christmas shorts. You can give his spirit a lift. With just one more gift. Just a little bit of snow drops to brighten up his day. Just a little bit of snow drops to pull his care away. You'll hear the church bells ringing. You grab your bouncing curls and festoon your face till it's dripping with pearls. Just a little Christmas glow job will wrap up Christmas Day. Just a little Christmas glow job will brighten up your day. Just a little Christmas glow job will soon kill away. You'll mumble Merry Christmas and oodles of good cheer.
Talk to your whoever and get a cheap. It doesn't cost anything.
Hey, Bill, I let me say one more thing.
Please.
Yeah. You know what? I couldn't have done this without my better half, and my wife has supported me all this time, and I just wanted to wish her the best of Christmas, and I love her dearly.
Mention her name.
Her name is Kelly, and she'll probably be there also at the run also. But I just
Patches, she wasn't here to hear that song, was she?
I don't know.
She out of the room.
The other room.
That's all right. You can play it later.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Bill.
Good
Patches,
luck, Patches.
I'll see you this weekend, buddy.
See you this
all
weekend.
All right.
Bye.
Let me segue right into this other event here I want to talk about. Merlin, you may be interested in this one. We have on Sunday, December 5th, the All Nations Pala Toy Run, hosted by the Res Riders IMC, Indian Motorcycle Club, and the Vietnam Vets M/C. Lee's My Shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles. I say I shot my brother Michael's my shot at 11:30 in Oceanside. You can find the address where you want. It's going to ride out to the Paula Administration Building on Mission and Paula Road. Beer, food, music. A mission is simply bring an unwrapped toy. The Indians are going to feed you. They're going to have music. They're going to have a major big party. And they, and I just know somebody's going to ask this, so I'm going to get this out of the way right away. They assure me all toys collected are for children not supported by Indian gaming.
Yep.
So don't call me and say, well, what about the money? This is for the Indians, which are not receiving any of the money from the Indian gaming. And I assure you, there's many Indians out there that fought in Vietnam or fighting overseas, and they don't get the Indian big money. There's two nice people out there. I want to talk about Scout and Chip. If everyone wants to make this bike ride with us, it is a hoot. Roland, if you get a chance to come down, it's a wild ride, I guarantee you.
Yeah, well, I got this herd of motorcyclists that I run around with, and they put me in charge of picking routes for the weekend, so I think I just got the second one.
There we go.
Patches on Saturday and the toy run on Sunday. And,
it's an unwrapped toy, and the Indians are going to feed you, and they'll feed you real well on that. You
know, and if it rains, I don't even have to take my motorcycle out in the rain. It's all nice and clean now. I got another one to run around with for a little while. So I don't care. I've been wet before. I still haven't shrunk. So,
you know, I'm getting a little older. I want to comment on that very quickly. You know, on my motorcycle, I've got my chaps. I got my rain gear. I am prepared to deal whatever comes my way. But as I'm getting older, when I'm in the bed in the morning and it's raining, I'm having a harder time getting out of the bed.
You finally
I don't mind
figured...
going home, getting caught in the rain, because you and I have done it so many times. Who cares?
But see, you finally figured out you don't have to prove it to yourself or anyone else anymore.
I know.
I just wanted to give an update. We're on in the Isle of Man, Puerto Rico.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
The Turks and the Caicos Islands right now.
God.
We have Mexico.
All of those places are really nice places to be, aren't they?
We've had some Puerto Rican little girls that, well, I can't, well.
No, they're well, messing on their show.
They seem to be nice people.
Yeah, that's another show, Bill.
We have some people
older.
That seem to think the sound of my voice is nice, so they send nice pictures to us.
Because right
now, these people can't see in the pictures we get sent, can they?
Yes, they can.
Oh.
But we're also in France, the Netherlands, Russia, Germany, the United Kingdom, South Korea, Australia, Canada, and Denmark.
Boy, and I don't speak Danish anymore either. I don't speak any less, but I just...
Well, we want to thank our friends in the different countries for sending us little humorous anecdotes and some interesting pictures.
Yes.
Please keep them coming. Tell us what's going on
right now.
Country.
Right now, Bill, I can tell you right now, just to give an update, we're on. We've got a guy in the chat room from England. His name is Evil E. We've got JC from New Jersey. We've got Kimmy from New York.
Kimmy.
He's out on Long Island.
We got glad you people can't see Kimmy.
We got Art from U.S. Poway.
U.S.
Poway. I'm sorry. We got Jan on the phone from North Carolina, and we got Charlie coming out of Whitehorse, Tennessee.
You got Jan from North Carolina on the phone?
No, she's in the chat room. I asked her if she wanted to call because I told her I had you on. But,
she sent me, I was hoping it was a her. I got an email from Jan.
Let me send her a chat. She wants to come on.
Hang on a second, Merlin. We're going to try to see if we
can.
Keep talking to me then. Okay, go ahead. Merlin, you're back on again. We're trying to reach her on the
Right. Scene. Yeah, because, I was real pleased to have a fan. And North Carolina, I have family roots go back North Carolina in the 1700s I hear voices.
We're trying to hear them.
That's
all right.
They don't. That's
all right.
Still working. I hear voices, but they don't like you.
No, they're good. That's Sasha. Sasha, I'm gonna mute you, but you're still on the call. Go ahead, Merlin.
it's good to be the king, huh? North Carolina, in fact, the whole South, I'm getting real excited about touring the South again. It's going to be almost 40 years from the first time I toured the South on motorcycle when I get back there in late winter and early spring. I'm really looking forward to it again. I don't think they've straightened the Blue Ridge Highway. And, you know, it's probably a little easier for me to understand the language now that I'm older and speak slower myself.
Merlin, when do they get that foggy season out there? Because I remember riding through 20 years
days,
ago, fog came
days
in
ending
heavy.
In alternate days ending in Y. you're talking about on the Blue Ridge?
Yes, brother, yes.
Yeah, mornings.
One never knows.
I got, like you, it sounds like, I got caught in there, coldest, wettest, dampest, found a little stone guard shack kind of a thing, hunkered down till it broke. Boy, when it breaks, does it break spectacular.
I was there the year they had 50 vehicles all racked up from the fog coming in so heavy. I spent a night in the gas station. It was terrible.
God.
It is beautiful.
But, it'd be interesting.
Well, you ever read about the Dragon's Tail? It's a segment of highway, a section of highway. It's curves. All the rice rocket people
go over
checking it out. Why don't you look it up? Maybe one of your journeys, and they say it's beautiful out there.
It's suggestination. See, that's what I've coined the word for. And because I've heard of a couple of dragons type things. You know, I found a place called Dragon's Teeth, and I found Hell's Half Acre in Wyoming.
No, this is for the East Coast.
Yeah, Dragon's Tail. What state? North Carolina or on the ridge?
It's in that area, but I couldn't swear.
Oh, okay.
In the south, but friends of mine that have been on said it is the ride of all rides.
Well,
it's nice when you get a, you know, sport bike to really appreciate it, but you can lean your bike pretty good.
And that's what I like about the FXR, is that thing will dive into or the FXD, that thing will dive into a corner so sweet. Thank you.
I have Jen on the phone. I'm going to bring her in right now, Merlin. Hello, Jen.
Yeah, hey, Philip. Hi, Bill.
Hey,
Hey, how are we doing? Happened? Long time no hear, buddy. Hope everything's okay with you. I wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I'm not going to say Xmas or anything bullshit. Merry Christmas.
How about a Happy Yule?
Happy Yule.
I'm deep into tradition. So I'm into Yule. Not like Yul Brynner.
Or y'all.
Right. Now, I'm not into y'all either.
What is y'all? Isn't that the Chinese currency, y'all?
Yeah, it's a small sailboat.
Yeah.
No, it's one of the Chinese currencies, y'all, by the way.
Yes, dragon.
Thank you. She would know. Yes. Tell us about the dragon's tail, please.
Sure. The tail of the dragon is North Carolina and Tennessee. It's like 117 miles and probably just as many curves, if not more. And it's a place where, of course, you know my favorite topic, police harassment. It's a place where police harassment is often going to happen. I've talked to a motorcycle cop who was bragging about how he chased down three motorcyclists doing 170.
God, he has a bigger need for adrenaline than the rest of us.
Yeah, they've got souped up BMWs out there.
I thought that's why they gave them radios, so they don't have to go out and kill themselves and ruin expensive machinery.
Well, you know, like you said, they're adrenaline junkies, Merlin.
Yep. The difference between a cop and a crook is really fine line sometimes. And but then that's just a personal opinion, you know. I may be wrong there.
Sure, I think I share that opinion with you.
You are
Steve's brother, or is Steve your brother?
Steve is my older, smarter, but not necessarily better looking and nowhere near as much fun brother.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve and I are brothers, same mother. I do have to both admit with pride and reluctance that he really is one smart ass son of a bitch. He is brilliant.
Oh.
And I've never met I've worked with some pretty clever people, and
really?
I've never met anybody who could handle a huge array of details in a major scenario. And funnel everything where he wanted it to get down to where, there it is, now deal with this, which is why the case is still locked up in the Ninth Appellate, because it gets down to some basic questions that if you answer them, you take out the law.
And, what do you mean the case is still locked up?
In the appellate court here in the state of California, the helmet law case, it's stuck in the Ninth Appellate because they can't answer it and leave the law intact. Therefore, they're not going to read it, so they keep.
Talking about the deals with the California Highway Patrol.
Yes,
and
Highway Patrol keeps trying to make deals, and I'm going, wait a minute, this
right.
You know, this is law, and I wasn't aware you could plea bargain a law after, you know.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
You
so
know, I've been naive most of my life.
Can you tell me? You know, so just please. You know, I, like you said earlier, I'm a fan of yours, but I'm also a fan of your brother's. And so please do tell him that that Bolt is doing well. You talked to the director of Bolt of North Carolina. That's who I am.
I've kind of figured from your emailed handle that, you know, you were, you know, deep and serious about it.
Very deep and very serious about it.
I will try to pass that on.
You know, Steve doesn't get on the computer, or he doesn't get on the email that often. But you know, I constantly think about Steve, and you know what things would be like if Steve was still leading Bolt. Which, you know, I mean, I'm a traditionalist. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Steve is still around. You know, we've got Don and.
I wonder what would have happened if Steve hadn't have called me one day and said, "Hey, I need to talk to you about something," and that just drove me deep into it. And the other thing was that if Steve and Quig hadn't have sat down and talked, and then started looking for people of like mind, and the list of freedom fighters. I don't know if you've ever seen Quig's handbook for freedom fighters, but it's a marvelous little publication. And there's a huge list of freedom fighters in the middle of this, in the acknowledgement page on this thing. And when the first time I saw one, my name's in the middle, and I was just absolutely thrilled to be counted among this group. You know, this is some, you know, these are some people that put it on the line a bunch of times. And and I look at you and Screwdriver and all of the people that are currently building on that base. I'm thrilled to see something like that, because we all want to belong to something bigger than we are. And
for me it's like walking to the trough. I can call up any one of these guys or women and ask them questions, and they'll take the time out of their day to answer me.
Yeah, and like Bill mentioned, you know, last time we were on the air, everybody got burned out. Red burned out. I burned out. Dave Alcon burned out. Steve burned out.
Red came out of his gopher hole to help me right off the bat.
Yeah, and that's what's happening to me. Bill has said, here, get involved in this little thing we're doing here with Screwdriver, and I'm finding myself ramping back up. I apparently, as much as I like wandering around the country, and I just love it, because to get to the end of the day and know I don't have to turn around and go back anywhere is a gorgeous thing, week and week on end. But at the same time, I'm finding myself going, but other than my own grin and giggle, what's the purpose here? And
Maryland, freedom is contagious. That's my favorite. We all have our favorite sayings? Mine is freedom is contagious.
The one that I've always loved is love and freedom are the only things you have to give in order to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Jan, Merlin, let me ask you a question. Both of you answer one. In fact, Jan, you answer first. Merlin, answer second, please.
Okay.
Talked about some of the, I don't want to say the giants,
you know, Quigley, your brother, blah, 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 all the Giants. Jan, first, do you think we have enough new blood coming up to keep going, or how do you feel about the way the energy is today? And then after you say it, Jan, would you jump and answer that same question? Merlin?
Yeah.
Jan, you're
on
first,
okay.
Please.
So you want me to go first. Okay. You know, we've got a lot of young talent coming in, and you know, a lot of people look at this and they say, you know, for people that don't know what we're talking about, let me back this up a minute and just say that this is mostly about the helmet fight. You know, Bolt is also into fighting against any other discriminations as well,
yeah,
against bikers. But what we're talking mostly is we are like the pros from Dover when it comes to knowing how to fight in court. As a pro se, in other words, you're defending yourself in court. We teach people how to defend themselves in court, you know, how to deal with a police encounter. And Bill, I've got to say that I'm very impressed with some of the younger people who are coming in. Yes, we do have a lot of the probably most famous freedom fighters in America that are alive today. I mean, we've got Pan, we've got Rogue. We've got Bill Gannon, Paul Cotay.
One more small question to that. East Coast, West Coast, Midwest.
Yeah, okay.
Where is our strongest motorcycle leaders coming from today? If you don't mind my putting you on the spot. Where do you feel the strength is? East Coast, West Coast, Midwest?
Well, you know, it's a bit of both. We've got some dynamite people in on the West Coast, and I'll include Nevada there, even though it's not coast. You know, we've got David Stillwell, we've got Tiger Lily, who was on your show earlier. Bolt of Washington, Donnie Landsman is terrific. He's not only a Bolt member, but he's the legislative coordinator for ABATE of Washington. We still have
pretty
all...
evasive. I asked you to give me East, West, or Midwest.
Okay, so
where
that's,
do you feel
that's,
the strength?
West Coast. And then over on the East Coast, what we're doing
judging one, two,
mainly...
three. You know what you feel right now. Merlin, let me ask you to jump in. Answer both those two questions, if you don't mind, sir.
Apparently, I've been hanging around with old people because there's not a whole lot of fight left in old people. And I was frankly kind of figured that, you know, it was lost because of and what I was bumping into the last few years, not just on the road, was they didn't get it. They don't want to play. And I just kind of went, God, did I waste all my time and energy other than the fact I can at least wear whatever hat I want? And now I'm finding and hearing that no, it's moved down a generation because they are the recently affected, they've been assaulted verbally or you know, legally or whatever. But so the recent effect is the younger people and so I'm thrilled to see that America, one more level of America, the freedom fighter, is alive and well.
Merlin, give me that second part. East Coast, West Coast, Midwest. Where do you feel the energy for the motorcycle rights?
Yeah, what I've heard is the East Coast and the Central East Coast, because that's where I hear the most about stupid law enforcement. And so I'm thinking,
probably my fault.
You know, that could very well be, in which case, congratulations. You know, I've heard about some of the stuff in North Carolina where it's the crap we used to find in Oatman, where you'd be on your way in and there's so many checks on this, that, and the other. And you know, do both your eyes match? You know, no, one's on the back of my head, thanks. And So and the black SUVs and the hundreds of photographs until you pull your camera out, and then you know, all of a sudden nobody's allowed to take photos, which that's funny, we're in public. So yeah, I kind of feel like the big activity at the moment is, or in the last year or so, is East Coast, because that's where I've heard the most about.
All right, Merlin, let me ask you this, and Jan, I want to ask you, give me the answer right after, please. First, Merlin, do you believe the heyday of the Motorcycle Right organization is gone because the younger kids today are just too content to live with it? Merlin, first, do you believe it'll rise again like a phoenix from the ashes?
Well, I think it's
alive and well. And I think it's alive and well because of people like Screwdriver and Stillwell and Jan, who have day to day continued to set a number of other things on hold to go do this valid, important thing. And it's impressive to me. And
that's what I'm trying to teach Sasha about right now.
And that's
can you jump
thing.
In? I'm sorry to walk on you, Merlin. I'm running short on time. Jan, can you answer that question also, please?
Yeah. Well, I see the future as we are going to need some more younger people, Bill. You know, to be realistic about it. And do we have? Am I optimistic about it? Yes, I'm optimistic that we're going to appeal to them because they're starting to look into things like the Constitution. They're starting to understand the Constitution and the fact that they have rights that are getting trampled on all the time. So yeah, I'm optimistic, though.
You know, it's just like you know, I get the stats of everything that goes out or comes in, and the other day I put up some stuff about some Marines that happened here in Oceanside, and it was happened to be the 3-5 Battalion, as well as the light armored vehicles came back the other day, which by the way, one of the Patriot Guard riders lost.
Yeah, he lost his life on that. They called me on that. Yeah.
He lost both. Well,
Merlin, yeah. Did you hear about that? The guy, Patriot Rider, died.
No, I didn't.
70-something years old coming back from the...
He got cold and he drifted in and he got hit head-on.
Oh, jeez.
I'm 76 by 15.
Correct. I am stepping on you again. I apologize. I wanted to ask you the same questions that I asked them, and I was waiting for your response. Do you think the power, the strength, the rising swell is East Coast, West Coast, or Midwest right now?
I think right now it's on the West Coast.
All right. The other question I want to have, I think the heyday was, like I said, the old days and all that. Do you think we can generate enough interest to the younger people so they will rise to the level? What do you think about that?
I think the TSA just did a great thing. And
sometimes we need to be shocked, don't we?
Mr.
Screwdriver, I didn't get the response. I asked you a basic question. You didn't respond. You're playing with your buttons over there. Would you just kind of share your response on this?
My response is that, you know, I'm doing it every day. I've got it.
The younger people?
I'm trying to educate the younger people. I talk to the Marines at the, you know, where I go downtown.
They
hang out down there. I talk to them. I talk to the guys that ride. There's a guy on the phone now that I've been educating for the last 6 months. He fell into the trap with this woman, and that was the problem. That's where he got suckered. And now he knows what to do next time. Exactly. And,
I've always said that, and Merlin, you know, my history, I went a different direction than a lot of people went, but, of course, the great leaders of the motorcycle world, I respect for all of them like that. I don't want to say something silly like, why can't we get along? But by God, if the Motorcycle Right organizations could ever just agree on something and
because,
then start from that
because
on,
they're
right?
Giving things away. They're giving our rights away. They're selling us out, Bill.
Right.
And I'm serious about that. And Philip,
exactly.
That's the response I want to hear. Merlin, what was your response to that? Merlin? Are you there?
We might have lost Merlin.
No.
But
he's pretty old. He might fall asleep.
Right.
He could have took a nap now.
Right. But I wanted to share one thing real quick.
We are running out of time.
Out of time, and I'm going to bring in one guy here in a minute. But the one thing that I wanted to talk about was the fact that
if you don't take control of the situation and stand up for your rights, this is like right now we're on the last freedom where we can say and talk about anything we want to talk about right here.
Right.
I get to play the songs that you laugh at while they're playing and everybody's listening.
Well,
to
like the last song you played, as the song was on, you kept looking at me.
Right. Okay.
I'm a little uncomfortable with that.
No, well, that's your story, but you know what I'm saying. It's if we don't keep doing, like, we do this. We're not getting paid to do this.
No.
I'm basically paying for this.
And we're paying for the city harassment.
Exactly. So it's like, yeah. I mean, if we don't keep doing this, it's gonna be gone.
And the people don't have to be lawyers. They don't have to be paralegals.
I've
been
doing all my stuff pro per with the advice of an attorney.
Put your toe down the sand. Draw the line.
And then the other thing I wanted to share with everybody, and Jan, I had said that I was going to have the guy who was the president of the Belfast chapter on this week.
The Sons of Anarchy,
right?
Right.
He sent an email yesterday, and he says, it starts out, shit, Thursday is not looking good. I have a shoot there just finishing up on this film trailer. Just got off the PCH highway. We will have to delay for a bit. Sorry. And then he asked me if I'll be at the tour run. So I'll see him Sunday and see how the schedule is for next week.
You know what really disappointed me? We had a nice conversation with some of the Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
The president of the Northern Ireland chapter, the Belfast chapter, he wasn't even Irish. He told me he was Australian.
Yep.
You know, at the party last weekend, I said, what? What do you mean? You couldn't find an Irishman out of that whole country to play an Irishman? They got to go to Australia?
Well, that's just like when we told them about being a Catholic in a Protestant.
That irritated me, too.
A Catholic in a Protestant club, and then he happened to turn out to be a snitch.
He only got one Catholic in the whole Protestant club,
and then
he was a snitch,
and then no wonder they threw him off the roof.
I'm sorry, we slip around the wrong way like that.
Sounds like you're not going to get over it, Bill.
Well, you know, like I'm yeah, growing up self-boss and all that, I really thought that until I came to California that I realized this problem in the island is a lot deeper than I thought it was. I thought it was England against us, but when I came to California, I could see the whole picture. It's pretty deep.
Well, there was
I am Irish.
I could tell you a little funny story about that, Jan. When they were Bill had tried to see if he could be one of the extras. You know, and he thought he was going to get a trip to Ireland and everything until the guy told him, no, they shot it here.
That just broke my heart. I said, I'll pay my way over to Ireland. I want to be in the show. They said, well, Bill, none of us are going to be in Ireland. I said, no.
Disappointment, huh?
Get it up here.
I could have played somebody's grandfather. I don't know, you know?
And then I have this guy I work with on the phone. I'm going to bring him in real quick, Jen. But Danny,
ahead.
Are you there?
Hello.
Danny, I'm sitting here with Bill, and we're talking to Jan from North Carolina. We're on in about 15 or 16 different countries right now, and what I wanted to do was bring her in. And Bill had asked me, how did this site get started as Everyday Guys? So maybe you want to explain it to the people.
Well, it's pretty simple. Ever since I was in the military and everything, I was taught when I was growing up to do the right thing and tell the truth. And not to blame anybody else when I messed up or I'd get in worse trouble. Well, everywhere I look, everybody's blaming everybody else. Nobody stands up for themselves no more. Nobody says if they mess up, nobody says they mess up.
Right.
How's it work?
And the stickers we're looking at, which happen to be red, white, and blue and stuff like that, but in a circle it says if you fuck up, step up.
Step up. Yeah, if you fuck up, step up to it. Own your actions. What happened was at work... I kind of made a huge mistake, but I didn't do it alone. I had a lot of help in, like, my bosses and everything. Well, everybody said, yeah, it's okay, but when it came down to the bottom line, I got stuck in an office, and everybody suddenly had memory losses.
Exactly. Well, I know. We work in the same place. That happens to me once in a while. But if you've listened to me and know me as you know me now, you know I don't take that shit.
I want to point out, I never talk about my past history or what I do and all that, but... Screwdriver knows me. My 35 years of riding in so many countries and all that with so many clubs, when I made a mistake, I dealt with it on the spot. To this day, I never have to look over my shoulder because I don't worry about anything. What I did wrong, I took credit for it. I took the blame. I dealt with it on the spot. That is a healthy way to live, guys.
Absolutely.
That's what it means. On the back of one of my shirts, it says, "Someone always knows." If you think you got away with it, think again. Someone always knows.
Absolutely, because three people can keep a secret if two are dead.
Yeah.
But, and then the other thing I'm going to do is this will be up on, I'm going to put it up on the site, and we're going to see how it goes for you.
Oh, thanks a lot for the help.
Yeah, like I said, Bill and I were sitting here earlier, and...
we like your attitude.
Exactly. And the other thing is...
I'm just getting started, so I got a lot of respect for all these computer people.
And just like right now, we can tell you we're at 24,221 people.
Listening to the sound of your voice right now, but don't get nervous. How many countries are we in right now?
Back to that again, we're in Canada, Denmark, Australia, South Korea, United Kingdom, Germany, Russia, France, the Netherlands.
They're all listening to your voice.
We're in the
don't get nervous.
No,
you're
in the Navy, so
now.
When I tell you we're in you've got the island of Man right now, Puerto Rico, the Turks, and the Caicos Islands.
All listening to your voice as we speak.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Larry, no problem,
yeah.
No problem, man.
How are you going to get this guy check intermittently with us or what?
Yes, he's going to check in. He'll be
an irregular.
An irregular,
like,
regular.
Yeah.
And
irregular,
then,
regular.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you got the chair. You got the chair next week if you want it.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to bring in one more caller, and then we're going to call it an evening. But, hey, everybody, thanks for listening and stuff.
Yeah, we appreciate
it.
Jan,
I thank you for listening. We're going to bring in this one caller. And
Jan, we missed the sound of your voice. Glad
absolutely.
To hear you.
Absolutely.
Nice to talk with you again. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Who's our last caller, sir?
We're going to find out right now. Hello, caller. The 951 area code? Are you
951-442.
Yes,
951-442.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's me. It's Merlin.
No. You already spoke to Merlin. He was on another phone line. You're some imposter. What's going on here, sir?
Okay.
Didn't even sound like his voice. I
don't know. That phone stopped working or something, so I grabbed another one.
There you go.
You know, it's multi-purpose. I didn't want to leave without saying some real life thank yous to both of you guys for what you do every day, and to Jan and everybody. It's amazing to come literally out of the woods and then suddenly discover something is very much alive and well, and I thought it had wandered off. And so that's a real amazing to me. The other thing is that
when you meet me in person, you'll know where I'm coming from.
Saturday or Sunday, screwdriver? One or both?
Sunday I'll be up in L.A., but Saturday you can it's going to be at the Postal Center.
Because I'm looking
o'clock.
Forward to it.
Meet my shop at 10, leave at 11, ride over the Postal Center Vista.
Yep.
Barely get the bikes warmed up, we're there. What a short ride.
Yeah. That's all right. It's a ride.
That's the first ride, so what the heck.
And then,
hey, we want to thank you, Merlin, for your contribution to the show, too.
Absolutely, and don't be a stranger.
Well, it's my pleasure, gentlemen. It involves motorcycles and arguments.
And we love the words you use because I can look up the dictionary. What the hell is he saying now?
And then, Sash, you're still on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay, man.
Oh,
I will see you. I will see you tomorrow.
Okay,
Sash. Call during
good
the
luck.
Day.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck. Pay attention. And there ain't no losing when you fight back.
We're going to play a song from our good guy in Whitehurst, Tennessee, or White House, Tennessee,
Charlie.
We're going to play Charlie Baker's song.
Air feels good on someone I used to know. The look in her eyes, the smell of her hair, the sweet taste of freedom as I'm moving on. Feels like the love that we used to share. Out on the road, nothing's passing me by, soaking up every detail. I can't remember
tonight, to all our friends who've taped the show. This is Bill Kennedy saying good night.
Good night, guys.